I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, Dr. Veronique de Saulniers, better known as Dr. V, has maintained successful practice in the wellness field since 1979. Because of her passion for health and wellness, Dr. V undertook extensive study in various fields of energy medicine, specializing in chiropractic, bioenergetics, meridian stress analysis, homeopathy, and digital thermography, and brings a unique approach to health and wellness. After 30 years in active practice, she decided to retire and devote her time sharing her personal non-toxic healing journey with breast cancer. Her years of experience and research have culminated in the 7 Essential Steps, a step-by-step coaching program. Dr. V is the number one best-selling author and has a number one best-selling book on Amazon, Healing Breast Cancer Naturally. Her website and her personal healing journey have touched the lives of thousands of women around the globe. More information is available at www.healbreastcancernaturally.org. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. V, and I look forward to hearing about your treatment for breast cancer. Now first, can you tell us about your journey and why you are so passionate about sharing the message of hope with women around the globe?
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show, Carl. I really appreciate all the work that you're doing as well.
Thank you.
But basically, my journey started way back when I was 16 years old, when I heard a chiropractic lecture, and I knew at that moment that I wanted to bring wellness to the world. It was such a positive message. So I became a chiropractor by profession and graduated in 1979. Things were rocking and rolling. I was bringing wellness to the world as I had dreamed about as a teenager. But then in 1983, my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Mm. He was basically sent home to die and given no hope at all by the traditional doctors. So during that time, I kept asking these doctors, was there, you know, surely there was something that could be done, and they kept saying, no, pancreatic cancer is a death sentence, you know, your father will be dead in a few months, and true to their prediction, he was dead within, you know, 6 weeks, but I really knew innately that there was something that could be done. So I started doing some research back then, no internet, so went to the library, started reading all these books, called a few cancer clinics. Back then, they were few and far between. And I came to realize that, yes, there was something that could have been done for my father, but unfortunately for him, it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
So I started applying these principles in my practice using homeopathy, naturopathy, bioenergetic testing, various herbs, supplements, nutrition, and I started seeing amazing changes in my patients.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things were reversing, autoimmune diseases, MS, cancer, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and people were getting well.
Mm-hmm.
But then one fateful morning in 2004, 25 years after I'd been in practice, I was in the shower and I felt that dreaded lump in my left breast, and I knew, my gut knew right away that it was not a benign cyst. So as I went through my healing journey with breast cancer, there were a lot of questions I had to ask myself. You know, why would somebody like me develop cancer? You know, here I was, Dr. V, you know, helping people reverse their health, and yet I ended up with breast cancer. So I had to do a lot of soul searching, a lot of research, and that led me down the path of developing what I call the 7 essentials. You know, 7 basic steps that if you follow, you never have to fear cancer again. So during those 2 years of healing, it really was a huge aha moment for me, a big turning point in my life that was very, very transformational in all levels.
Mm-hmm. In retrospect, why do you think you got cancer?
Well, there were several pieces of the puzzle that I was missing. One of them was I was very iodine deficient. I also had a dental cavitation, which I was not aware of. You know, I'd had the metals removed, but I didn't realize I had a cavitation that actually sat on the meridian of the left breast. there were a lot of emotional issues that I had not dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought I dealt with them, but they were very superficial healing. You know, I didn't really go deep. And then there was a sensitivity with the electropollution. I realized how sensitive my body was to EMFs, and I you know, really had to learn to protect my body from all that. So, you know, in managing my stress, I wasn't managing stress very well. So, you know, I learned a lot of things, and now since 2006, I've been cancer-free and feel great, and I live by the seven essentials every day.
And you wouldn't be doing what you're doing had you not had cancer, would you?
Exactly. You know, I was in practice for 30 years, and in 2010, I quote-unquote retired from my practice, and I just, you know, I just had this gut feeling, and people started telling me, you know, why don't you start sharing your story about healing breast cancer? You know, the world needs to hear that.
Right.
And one thing led to another. And after, you know, a few years, well, actually just doing this 2.5 years now, almost 3 years, I've coached women in 17 countries all around the globe through Skype and email and phone. And I've written a book, a number one bestseller on Amazon, and I'm getting ready to create certification courses. So it did not, my retirement did not look this way, but you know, when you have a message that is as powerful as this is, you know, how can you not share that with other people?
Right. And when you're so passionate about it.
That's right. I mean, there's such a need. And, you know, we know that cancer statistics are so staggering, and they're on the increase, according to the World Health Organization. You know, cancer statistics are going to increase 57% in the next 20 years.
That's
incredible.
And I'm 82, and I'm still out there giving my message to Dr. Fee. So
I think that's right.
When you feel that it's right, you have to do it.
Right. Absolutely.
Then, Dr. Fee, there are many myths about breast cancer. Can you outline a few of these for us?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of misinformation that keep women in fear. And one of them is that women's hormones cause cancer. That myth has been promoted through the, you know, the fact that some breast cancers are estrogen or progesterone positive, and doctors, traditional medicine, has taken upon themselves to say, well, if they're estrogen positive, then let's shut off the hormones in women's bodies and they won't develop cancer. Well, if our hormones cause cancer, every 20-year-old on the planet would be developing cancer right now. So what we have to look at is what is driving the excess estrogen and progesterone in the body. Well, we look at the environment, and there's something called xenoestrogens or false estrogens, chemical estrogens that we get from pesticides, herbicides, the lotions and potions we put on our skin, the plastics, the antiperspirants. Aluminum is classified as a metalloestrogen, so it actually mimics and stimulates estrogen in the body. So that's the first level you have to look at. Secondly, if you're not metabolizing your estrogen properly because of either an impaired genetic function or a toxic liver where it's not detoxifying properly and secreting the excess estrogens out of the body, then yes, you will have an excess of estrogens. But the key is to look at, you know, what is driving the hormones versus just shutting off the hormones in a woman's body. So that's one of the myths. Another myth is that plant estrogens cause cancer. I can't tell you how many times I hear from patients, you know, my oncologist told me not to have any flax or any of this, any of that, because it has estrogen in it. Well, food has been around a lot longer than chemotherapy has, and we know that the plant estrogens actually prevent cancer cells to multiply. They actually block the aggressive estrogens on the breast cancer cell. Plant estrogens improve your own estrogen metabolism in the liver, and they also prevent DNA damage. There was a study done at the University of Toronto where they took women that were getting ready to have surgery, to have a lumpectomy, to have the tumor removed, and they fed them muffins that had 5 teaspoons of ground flaxseed.
Mm-hmm.
They had a few muffins every day. And after 30 days, they noticed a reduction from 30 to 70% in tumor markers and tumor size.
Mm.
So just introducing 5 teaspoons of flaxseed mm-hmm. in your diet mm-hmm. can have such a tremendous impact in preventing cancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another big myth I'd like to bust is that you inherit breast cancer and you have no control over your genes. You know, your mom had breast cancer or your sisters or whatever. But we know now that our DNA is not our destiny because according to the sciences of epigenetics meaning that we can change the expression of our genes, and the science of nutrigenomics, which is the science of food, looking at all the nutrients in food and how they impact our genes, we know that we can actually turn off our cancer-promoting and inflammatory-promoting genes and turn on our cancer-protective genes mm-hmm. through specific supplements and food choices and stress reduction and proper sleep and exercise. So we do have a large measure of control over our health. So we're not victims of our mm-hmm. genes like we used to think, but we really can control our health.
Mm-hmm. The flax is interesting because isn't that what's in the Budwick diet?
Yes, the Budwick diet uses the flax oil, the ground mm-hmm. flax seeds, and the cottage cheese. Yes,
mm-hmm.
and the whole premise behind that is that when you mix those three together, it makes the oils much more absorbable into the cell wall and
mm-hmm.
into the cell, which increases oxygenation, which we know that cancer cells don't like oxygen.
Right, right. And I read that there's been quite a bit of success using the Budwick diet.
Yes, the Budwick diet over the years, I think it's over the last 50 years, they have a 93% success rate
mm-hmm.
with people with all kinds of different cancers. So those
mm-hmm.
are pretty good statistics.
Right, right. Very good. Then, Dr. V, can you tell us about some specific nutrients or supplements that women should be aware of if they want to prevent breast cancer?
For sure. The best supplement, the first one that I always recommend, is vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
There was a 25-year Canadian study that showed that women who had higher levels of vitamin D cut their breast cancer risk by 83%.
Mm.
Now, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Just 83%. Just with vitamin D. Now, make sure that if you want a supplement with vitamin D, that you measure. Because I find that a big mistake that a lot of women make is that they'll start a healing journey, but they're not measuring their results, and they're not measuring where they are. So there's things that you can't compare to. So you want to have a blood test that will determine what your levels are. Healthy levels would be between 80 and 100 ng per ml. So that's a good
mm-hmm.
goal to look towards. Oftentimes women will go to their doctors and their levels are around 40 or 50 and the doctors are saying, oh, you're fine. But really, research has shown us that to really combat chronic degenerative diseases such as cancer, between 80 and 100 ng per ml is the ideal dose. Another nutrient that's extremely important for preventing cancer and supporting a healing journey is iodine. Women especially have a serious need for iodine because of the breast tissue and the thyroid. They both compete for iodine. And so because we live in such an iodine-deficient world now, as well as we're exposed to things like bromide, chloride, and fluoride, these things also compete for iodine and actually kick the iodine out of the body and replace it. Bromide, for example, is found in flame retardants and all our electronics and our carpeting, our clothing, our furniture, our cars, so we're really overloaded with the bromides and the halides. So finding out again, there's a simple urine test that you can do. It's a 24-hour urine test. Find out what your levels are of iodine and then supplement accordingly to the deficiency and keep taking iodine basically for the rest of your life because it has such an important effect on preventing and healing breast cancer. Statistically, women that are on thyroid medication, which means they've got a sluggish thyroid, probably because they're iodine deficient, are twice as likely to develop breast cancer than women who are not on medication. So a clear link there between the two.
I believe that my multivitamin has iodine in it. Is that usual or not?
It might, but it's probably not enough. Especially men with prostate issues, which is very similar to the breast issues. Most men are iodine deficient also, so it's important to get that checked for the health of your prostate.
Good.
Another great food is garlic. You know, we overlook the power of garlic, but garlic has so many important properties when it comes to healing cancer. It kills cancer cells. It boosts your natural killer cells. I mean, it detoxifies the liver. It helps to metabolize estrogen. So, you know, there's very simple things that you can do. Increasing your cruciferous vegetables. Cruciferous vegetables help to metabolize the aggressive, unhealthy estrogens and to secrete them from the body. So, you know, prevention is key. But if you end up developing breast cancer, you know, it's not a death sentence. There's a lot of things that are available to you and many, many options.
Great. Good. Then, Dr. V, it takes a while for cancer to develop. Are there specific tests that would help detect the cancer at an early stage?
Yes, there are. And I'm very, very passionate about letting people know that by the time they find a lump or a bump, it's taken 5 to 8 years for that to develop, and that's according to the American Cancer Society. So if they find something in a mammogram, it's been there 5 to 8 years. Now, there are tests that can detect cancer or the development and the physiological changes in the body when it's the size of a pinhead, just a few million cells versus trillions of cells. One of those tests is called thermography. Thermography is a scan that reads the infrared heat coming off the body. It cannot diagnose cancer, but what it does is it measures physiological changes of what's going on in the breast tissue or any other area of your body. When a tumor starts to develop, or if there's estrogen dominance in their body, there's going to be more blood flow and more heat in that area of the breast. The scan, the camera, will pick that up and it'll show up, you know, red and hot red and white in the image. The images are sent to a panel of medical doctors, you know, thermographists, very similar to radiologists, and they'll write a report and they'll make recommendations to monitor the changes in thermography. So, again, thermography can't diagnose cancer, but it can tell you if there's blood flow that's being created that may be feeding a tumor or some estrogen dominance issues in the breast. There are also blood tests that you can find, that you can use to find out if you have cancer and where you have cancer. Something called Oncoblot is a very, very sensitive test that measures the presence of ENOX2 protein in the blood. And this is a type of protein that is secreted by cancer cells. And it can, again, it can detect cancer when it's very, very minuscule, the size of a pinhead. So wouldn't you rather know if you're developing cancer than waiting until you have a large tumor that is much more difficult to live with? So those are just a couple of examples.
Great. Then a lot of women will use chemo and surgery, et cetera. But are there other less toxic choices that they could select that are effective?
There are many choices out there. And I just like to make a point. I'm not anti-medicine. Sometimes there is a need for chemotherapy, perhaps in smaller doses, such as in IPT, insulin potentiating therapy. Sometimes there's a need for surgery. You know, traditional medicine is good for crisis care.
Right.
They don't teach you how to get well after they've cut out the tumor or the bump or the lump. But, you know, it does have its place.
Mm-hmm.
But to choose something that's more supportive for the body that will not kill your healthy cells, there are hundreds of possibilities there, really. For example, bloodroot. Bloodroot is an herb that has a special plant compound in it called sanguinarene. And sanguinarene is like a form of herbal chemo in that it kills cancer cells, but it does not affect your healthy cells. I mean, that's so powerful. I mean, when you look at the miracles of nature and what it's provided for us. I mean, so bloodroot is just a simple example. And to understand these, you know, how these pathways work, if your audience wants to research and learn more, they can go to pubmed.org, which is the United States Library of Medicine, and there they'll find thousands and thousands of published articles about these natural substances that show how they actually kill the cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
And my book also, Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, has over 500 published studies in it that supports everything that I talk about in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So bloodroot is an example. Proteolytic enzymes, high doses of enzymes is extremely important because what the enzymes do, they think of them like little Pac-Men in the blood. They weaken the cell wall of the cancer because cancer cells have, you know, 17 layers of protein and fibrin, you know, very tough layer, and so it weakens that, so it makes them more susceptible and vulnerable to the immune system. There's things like poly-MDA. Poly-MDA is a liquid vitamin supplement that is very high in palladium, and it helps to change the electrical charge of the cells, and unhealthy cells don't like that electrical change. Healthy cells thrive on it. Medicinal mushrooms like chaga, spices like curcumin. Curcumin has been shown to stop the creation of blood flow in tumors. It actually kills cancer cells. It boosts your natural killer cells. Hemp oil, the cannabis oil from hemp, is extremely powerful in building your immune system and killing the cancer. So, I mean, the list goes on and on. And so that's what's so encouraging about evidence-based natural medicine is that there are so many options to use to support your body and weaken the cancer at the same time.
I think, again, one of the problems when people use some of these things is finding a doctor that it will support them throughout the process. I know in
my area,
there's no one. I mean, I found one naturopathic doctor, but she wasn't right for me, and I couldn't find anyone else. And I live in the Tidewater, Virginia area, where we have Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Hampton, Newport News, major-sized cities in Virginia. But there was no one. The nearest people were up near Washington, D.C. So
Wow. It's
difficult, you know, if you don't have that support, because often what I found is they mean well, but your family and your friends are so oriented to traditional medicine that they aren't supportive of your using something different, or at least 40 years ago they weren't supportive. So it's
well,
difficult.
Well, and like you say, they, you know, they mean well, and same with traditional doctors. I mean, they've been taught a methodology, and that's what they understand, and that's what they feel works. So they don't understand the whole aspect of, you know, evidence-based natural medicine. They just don't have the time to research and study. Fortunately, there are more and more doctors that are understanding, you know, the benefits and are incorporating that in their practices.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. Then, Dr. V, would you tell us about the seven essentials that you discuss in your book that you have found to be very effective?
Absolutely. And they're very simple and very basic, but they will really get to the core root cause of any dis-ease in the body, whether it's cancer or arthritis or any other type of dis-ease you may be dealing with. Essential number one is let food be your medicine. And I think we all agree that what we put in our body, either is to our benefit or to our detriment. I tell my coaching clients, you have a choice. When you lift up that fork, you're either feeding your body or feeding the cancer. You decide. There's no cookie-cutter, specific anti-cancer diet. I mean, there's a general one, but you have to really create it so that it's individualized for each person. But as a general rule, work towards alkalinity. 80% alkaline food, 80% raw food, and the rest can be cooked.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of general. We know that cancer cells thrive in an acidic medium, and so keeping your body as alkaline as possible is very important. Essential number two is to reduce your toxic exposure. We live in a toxic world. We can't live in a bubble, but there are specific things that we can do to really reduce our exposure. Look at what you're putting outside your home, in your, in your grass or around your home as far as pesticides and herbicides. Look at what you have in your home. Open up the cabinet doors. The average person has over 1,000 various chemicals in their home just from cleaning substances and cleaning products and various toxic chemicals. So there are more and more companies that are offering biodegradable, organic, natural products that are very effective and are not toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what you're putting on your skin, because whatever you put on your skin is being absorbed in the body. And again, most lotions and potions that people put have hundreds of chemicals in them, and that adds to your toxic burden. And then lastly, you look at what you're putting in your body, and that goes back to, the food and all the toxins associated with that. And, you can detox your body with fasting and coffee enemas, sweating, saunas, liver flushes, specific herbs to detox the various organs and support them. So there's a myriad ways to reduce your toxic exposure. Essential number three is to balance your energy. We are electrical beings. That's how we function. We're only 1 billionth physical matter, and the rest is all energy. And so how do we keep that energy balanced and functioning properly? Well, healing arts like chiropractic and acupuncture and exercises like Qigong and yoga, meditation, sleep, making sure that you're getting proper sleep, keeping your hormones balanced. Very, very important to keep your
mm-hmm.
energy balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Essential number four is to heal the emotional wounds, and that was a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And for most women that are on a healing journey, we're so ingrained into healing the physical cancer that we forget about the emotional cancer that's at the root of the physical cancer. And so looking at various techniques to heal your emotional wounds, whether it's with a therapist or with energy psychology that connects the body and the mind together, things like EFT or rapid eye movement technology. I mean, there's a lot of various tools out there to help you heal the emotional wounds. Essential number five is to embrace biological dentistry. Our teeth are living entities that are connected to our body
mm-hmm.
through the blood and lymphatic system, but also through our acupuncture meridian system. So each tooth corresponds to a specific organ. So if you have an amalgam or a hunk of metal in your tooth, and amalgams, by the way, are 50% mercury, and mercury is the most toxic element on the planet, so every time you're eating or drinking, you're releasing methylmercury vapors into the body, then that can release, serious toxins into the body. And if that tooth is sitting on a meridian that relates to a specific organ, such as the breast or the prostate, then you're blocking the chi energy or the flow energy of life, and that can, with time, cause some weakening of that organ. Also, let's look at root canals. Statistically, 98% of people who have cancer have one or more root canals in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So very important to address that. Root canal is a dead tooth. No matter how aseptic the dentist tries to make it, it's toxic. It's releasing anaerobic bacterial toxins into your system. And so never get a root canal. I'm not a dentist, but if I had a root canal, I would have that extracted and cleaned out properly with a biological dentist who knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Of which there are few, I understand.
Correct. And you want to make sure that when you do find a biological dentist, there are organizations that have certified biological dentists, but when you, before you open your mouth, you want to make sure that you ask specific questions on their methodology to make sure they're doing it right. And I do have, in my blog, I do have a few articles on biological dentistry, and you can find those questions there at breastcancerconqueror.com. And then we're approaching near the end. Essential number six is to repair your body with therapeutic plants. Well, we talked a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
There are, hundreds and hundreds of published studies that show the effectiveness of natural medicine and how it weakens the cancer cells and boosts the immune system. And then lastly is essential number seven, which is very early detection and monitoring your progress. Whether you're preventing or whether you're healing breast cancer or any other type of cancer, you want to make sure that you monitor your progress with specific blood work and urine and saliva tests to make sure that you're keeping your body in balance and you're moving in the right direction. So there you have it, seven essentials.
Now, I like them very much. The one thing, unless I've missed it, that I would add would be a spiritual dimension, because I believe that optimism and faith, I think, was half of my recovery. Did I miss this?
Well, it's part of essential number four in healing the emotional wounds.
Oh,
it
okay.
has to be
good.
A spiritual good. Transformation
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. It was also interesting that you mentioned the 80% raw food, because I think people think that the vegan raw juicing and all of that is relatively new, but my diet 40 years ago that my doctor advocated was 75% raw fruit and vegetables with some additional cooked grains, nuts, and that was it, fruit, vegetables, grains, and nuts. So it was basically a vegan diet, and as I say, that was 40 years ago. So I think my doctor, even though he didn't include the mental and the spiritual components, I think was very progressive. In fact, there was a piece of research that I read about maybe 8 months ago that validated something that he did 40 years ago, and that was I started with 200,000 international units of vitamin A, then I went to 100,000, and then I went to 50,000 for a year, and I was concerned because of it being a fat-soluble vitamin, but he then told me that he was going to have me take high-dose vitamin E that would help with the toxicity, and again, I was concerned because another fat-soluble vitamin. But I read, and he told me that the reason I was doing it was to prevent cancer cells from converting, normal cells from converting to cancer cells. And what I read about 8 months ago was they had done research with breast cancer cells, normal cells, and precancer cells, and it did nothing. The vitamin A did nothing with the cancer cells or normal cells. But the precancer cells reverted back to normal cells. So I thought that was very interesting that he had advocated that 40 years ago.
Excellent. Yeah, that's tremendous.
Then before we look at your book and your practice and website and all, Is there anything else you would like to say, Dr. V, about breast cancer or other ways of dealing with treatment, prevention?
Well, I just want to mention a couple of things. You know, if and when you're ever diagnosed with breast cancer, try not to listen to the doom and gloom of doctors, because they can be very discouraging, and they're in a big hurry to put you on that, you know, conveyor belt assembly line approach. I mean, I've had women tell me that they were scheduled for surgery within a few days or chemotherapy in a week, and, you know, you have time. Take the time to, first of all, let that diagnosis sink in. And secondly, you know, start doing your research. Get another opinion. Talk to, you know, people who perhaps have been through a healing journey. You know, look at the internet. You know, look at all the positive things that are being done now as far as healing cancer. And the second thing is to realize that healing cancer is not just a physical transformation, but we've talked about it has to be a mental, emotional, and spiritual one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the root of the cancer is often our inability to love ourselves, to forgive ourselves, to nurture ourselves, and to, you know, to really live a life that is filled with happiness and joy, because so many of us don't know how to manage our stress, and the stress creates, you know, a cascade of hormones that suppress our immune system and allow cancer cells to thrive. So those are two big things to really understand about cancer.
Yep, that's great. Now, would you tell us about your book and practice and website and how the listeners can reach you?
My website is Breast Cancer Conqueror. That's CONQUEROR.com, breastcancerconqueror.com. And you can find me on Facebook as well, Facebook.com/breastcancerconqueror.com, and Twitter and LinkedIn as well. My book is called Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, 7 Essential Steps to Beating Breast Cancer. And you can find that on my website, or you can go to Amazon to download the Kindle version or the paperback or audio version.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. And your practice, are you available by phone, or you mentioned Skype? Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yes, the best way to reach me would be to email me at drv@breastcancerconqueror.com. And myself or my assistant will be in touch with you within 24 to 48 hours if you have any questions and if you know how we can support you
mm-hmm.
through your prevention or healing journey.
Great. Well, this has been fantastic. As I mentioned earlier, I love it that you use a holistic approach. I think it's the only way to go. I think it's much more effective than what has been often used in the past, and that was a single focus on the physical aspects with no emphasis on the mental and the spiritual. And I think that, you know, you're doing a fantastic job with using a holistic approach, and it's the right approach as far as I'm concerned, because it worked. And so I thank you very much, and I hope to talk with you again soon.
Well, thank you, Carl. I appreciate you sharing my message of hope with your audience.
Thank you. For the remainder of today's show, I thought you might listening to one of my interviews on the nationally syndicated radio show, Bill Martinez Live, in which I discuss my experience using natural interventions for lung cancer 40 years ago, after being given 6 months to live by conventional medicine. This longevity makes me probably the longest living lung cancer survivor worldwide. I believe I was successful because my doctor, Tom Roberts, was very progressive and was one of the first to use interventions that are still being used and being proven effective by research, and also by my adding mental and spiritual interventions making me one of the first cancer patients using holistic treatments. This approach was based upon my public health background at the University of California and Johns Hopkins University, and also using the Edgar Cayce Holistic Interventions as a volunteer nurse at the Edgar Cayce Children's Camp and in my own life. You'll find more radio and television interviews and magazine reviews at www.beatlungcancer.net.
Welcome to
Bill Martinez Live.
Are we on air? Are we on air?
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
And you can always follow us on your smartphone as well. Just download the TuneIn Radio app and follow us wherever you go. Hey, this is Bill Martinez Live, 27 minutes before the top of the hour, America. And quite a story coming up next. Our next guest, he was a relatively young man when he was diagnosed with lung cancer and told he had 6 months to live. Instead, he made a decision to fight back with something other than traditional medicine. And today, he is one healthy 80-year-old man. He takes no prescribed medications and is one of the longest living lung cancer survivors. With us right now is Dr. Carl O'Helvey. Dr. Carl, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill, and I'm happy to be with you.
Well, great to have you with us so that you can tell everybody your story. I have been a holistic animal myself all my life. I've tormented one of my dear friends who we went to school with. He's an MD. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just had a bout with prostate cancer. And I was just absolutely tormenting him because I said, look, I need to approach this a little bit differently. And, and he's a traditional MD. So mm-hmm. he wanted to follow the traditional avenues for it. But, I want to hear your story, Dr. Carl. Explain to our audience what you decided and what happened to you.
Well, I had a dream, Bill, that told me to go for an X-ray. I didn't have any symptoms, and I pay attention to my dreams because I believe that that's one way that God speaks with us if we listen. Mm-hmm. And so I went to my doctor because at that time you had to do everything through your primary doctor. Mm-hmm. And he kept asking me why I wanted it. Well, I wasn't about to tell him because I didn't think he'd understand. And so finally he sent me for an X-ray, and it came back with a spot that had not been there previously. Mm-hmm. So they asked me to come in, and they did biopsies, and they told me it was lung cancer, and that they were going to do surgery and chemotherapy. And I said, wait a minute, I don't make snap decisions. I go home, I pray about it, I make a rational decision. And they said, well, you'll be dead in 6 months. And I said, well, that's my responsibility. Your responsibility is to tell me the pros and cons of surgery and chemo, and my responsibility is to make the decision. So I came home, and I had a good friend, and she also offered to pray with me and mm-hmm. to watch her dreams. And so we did this, and it came back very clear that I should not have surgery and chemo. I should do natural interventions. So my friend knew a physician in Northern Virginia who mm-hmm. treated with Laetrile. He had been at the National Cancer Institute and was having great success. In fact, he was having so great success that the FDA and the medical profession closed him down, but he continued doing it in private practice in his office. Mm-hmm. And so I went to him, and he told me how much Laetrile to take, where I could get it, because it was illegal. He told me to take the pancreatic enzymes. I was on therapeutic doses of vitamin A, vitamin E. I was taking a variety of vitamin Bs. Mm-hmm. I was taking digestive aids. And also, he put me on a diet that was very similar to a vegan diet today, which was 75% raw fruit and vegetables with no dairy, no meat, no protein at all, and no simple carbohydrate. Mm. And I, being a nurse, wanted to add some mental and spiritual activities, so I added affirmations, visualization, prayer, meditation. Mm. I tried to be more patient. I tried to serve others. I tried to do a lot of spiritual, mental interventions. And I went back to my primary doctor every 3 months for x-rays because the alternative doctor didn't ask me to come back. And so I didn't tell my doctor I was doing anything, so he thought we were in a wait-and-see mode.
Right.
And so after 2 years, he told me that it was gone and he had made the wrong diagnosis. And so my friend, who was professor of pediatrics when I taught at Duke University, and at this point he is the medical director for Blue Cross Blue Shield in North Carolina, and he wanted to see all of the lab and the x-rays and all the tests that I had. So I collected them, and I went to North Carolina, and he reviewed everything, and he confirmed for the third time that it definitely was lung cancer.
Right. Well, you know, what we're talking about, when we look at things holistically, and what comes to mind again is our lack of understanding that we are tripart human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We are body, mind, and spirit. And obviously, you needed to address the body, which you did, your diet, and also in limiting, I guess maybe this might be the mental part, is it seemed to me, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that you reduced the stressors of life dramatically.
Right.
You know, that load of stress that we have, and particularly in our American way of life and our culture, we just keep on going. Many of us are just, you know, we just keep on rocking and rolling. We're on that hamster wheel of life, and we don't even realize how much stress and how much load that we're putting on our bodies, and something along the way has to give, and certainly the spiritual aspect from where all truth and all life comes from is that you acknowledged an almighty and merciful God who gave you wisdom every step of the way in order to get through this process. So after 2 years, you discover, and much to the dismay of the doctor who only gave you a six-month sentence, you are now fully healed, and he says, well, I messed up on the diagnosis.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, and then, but fortunately you have other professionals to be able to look at this and verify, you know, the miracle, you know, that, and I believe the miracle starts in the way that God designed our bodies. I've often said, Carl,
right,
and maybe you
right.
feel the same way, is that if we just, you know, do the things, our body will, you know, will come to center. It'll come to standard. It will heal itself if
right.
given, you know,
right.
the right environment. Is that what you feel?
Definitely. And I also think that if we turn to God, that God will direct us all the way through. I mean, my life has been so filled with things that most people would call miracles, but I guess I get complacent because I know that God is always there to direct me and to help me throughout the troubles that come up throughout our life. And I've learned never to doubt because everything always turns out for the best.
Right,
and I think that's also important in a cancer cure, is that you're optimistic and that you have faith, because everyone that I have talked with that have survived, they all have strong faith and they all are very optimistic.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and that's the deal. You know, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, in my experience has been those that have survived have had, you know, a good attitude about it. They've, you know, just like you, relied on affirmations, you know, so they were feeding the mental side of their, you know, their condition as well. And, you know, and they all have success stories to share. But unfortunately, we don't hear a lot about this, Carl. You know, we hear more about these harsh chemicals like chemotherapy, and I just wonder, I go, wow, how does that give us some sense of quality of life? And I know there's probably some MDs and people who believe in this procedure and see that as a miracle, but I see so much other evidence that would contradict that.
Right, I agree. And, you know, the statistics are not good at all for the chemo and the radiation and all of that for a stage 4 patient. Now, I suspect I was stage 1 or stage 2 because I didn't have symptoms. Mm-hmm. But for a stage 4, the survival 5-year rate is 2%.
Right.
Well, And that's not comfortable because you're debilitated during that time. So,
exactly.
I mean, that's not a very good prognosis as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Dr. Carl O'Helvey has been with us. His book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer, Using Alternative Integrative Interventions, an excellent book on his experience that documents what he went through and how he's used alternative integrative interventions in order to allow his body to heal himself. Carl, thank you so much. And we're going to have this book linked on our website, too, BillMartinezLive.com. This is Bill Martinez Live. It is just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour, America.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my websites, www.holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all of the past shows from the last 5.5 years under the blog with a search engine so you can look for a specific topic. You will also find a place to sign up for a free monthly newsletter on holistic health and the latest information on research on cancer, also under the blog. I also invite you to my website, beatlungcancer.net, where you will find information on my latest book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions. You will also find endorsements. You will find additional information about the book, and you will also find a site where you can purchase the book from me, or you can also purchase it at Amazon.com. I also invite you to join me on Facebook under Carl Helvey or under Holistic Health Show or under Beat Lung Cancer. I also invite you to join me on LinkedIn under Carl Helvey or on Twitter under Holist Health Show. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, and I look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.